Hello and welcome to the Practical Tech Leadership Podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. In this show, I'll be chatting to C-level executives from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own career. If you like the show and want to hear more from us, you can follow us via SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify, or join us on Slack. Thank you and enjoy the show. Today's guest is Leanne Lynch, IT Digital Services Director at Heathrow Airport. Leanne, absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
I think it's like saying we were having like a nice discussion before we actually started the recording, but so I'm going to try and just continue to go on with that. And it was actually interesting you were just talking about change, right? And I think change within an organization, and I think it's almost behaves similar to the way that one might change in their own lives. And managing that change is extremely difficult, and I think something that people struggle with significantly. But it almost seems that, like, you know, with technology at the moment, there's more pressure than ever to make change, and it's constantly around us. So almost managing change and when the right time to make adjustments is, it seems like it's a whole job in itself.
Yes. No, I couldn't agree with you more. And the change in the way that we see technology, I mean, in our workplace is moving at a pace that I think almost is overtaking us within within IT itself. I mean, people at home have such connectivity. Mm-hmm. So when you're in your house, you know, nowadays most people have Alexa connected to their lights, their TV, you know, they can control everything. And so when they come into a workplace, they are looking for a similar experience. And, you know, it's how do you bring in the right environment and the right people to help transition you in that experience, to make the workplace somewhere exciting to be, easy to be, and flexible. So working from home, for example, with the technology we have today, your actual physical location should be less and less of an issue. But there is a mindset change that needs to go alongside that to make that work. You also have the way we engage our consumers. So all corporations will have a customer, be it another trade organization or a consumer themselves. And the way that you can engage them has changed and evolved. And it's how do you add that new elements into your remit of capabilities and stay current and make sure that you don't lose out to other areas of the industry who perhaps have accelerated in those areas.
Yeah, you've kind of got to be comfortable feeling uncomfortable, if you like. And it's not just you. And obviously, I think that's driven by the leadership, but you also, the whole hiring process needs to almost be less around what people can do now and how comfortable they are to make adjustments. It's been a kind of a fascinating change of guard, if you like, in the way that we've kind of recruited technical people specifically, in that you used to hire someone who was able to execute on a very kind of specific task. And now, because the rate of change, it's almost kind of irrelevant. You need someone who's kind of motivated by learning, and that is what drives them less so than that they're like very good at like one very specific thing. And I think that that's kind of extended to outside of technical roles, and it's, you know, into leadership, to management, and even, you know, outside of in other disciplines as well.
So to your point about the type of talent that we need to look for, it is a challenge that is facing most leaderships and leaders today. Is like, you know, first we have to understand what is your vision, right? What are you looking to do? Not today, but moving forward into the future, as you pointed out. And what roles and people are going to make up that capability that ensures that you meet the company vision while retaining the values of your company? So it's about embracing what you currently have and evolving it to meet the future. And some of those roles will change, rightly so. So whereas before you may have had an IT-specific role and a marketing-specific role, you may now start to look in more what you commonly start to hear is MarTech. some marketing technology. Mm. And mainly because some of the technology that's coming out, the way we engage with our employees or with our consumers, is very digitalized. And it's not enough just to understand how to code it and how to make it work. And it's not enough to understand what the visual experience needs to be for the end user or consumer. You have to understand both. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is driven by the speed in which you have to be able to respond to your user needs, your consumer needs. And if you had that traditional, one came up with the requirements and then waited for the other to code and then tested and to and fro'd it, you would lose some of that edge against the rest, other areas of the industry that you potentially were competing with.
And you must have seen, you know, this change within your previous organization that you were at for 10 years. How significant have you seen this change over the last 10 years? Or has it even been kind of more recent than that, that you've seen, you know, significant adjustments in the way that you've had to, you know, approach talent specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say in the last 2 years was probably the biggest step change in the way that, for me personally, mm-hmm. you looked at diversity and the type of team you needed to meet a particular ask. So the vision was very much to move more into a business-to-consumer environment. Now, moving into a business-to-consumer environment, while some of the terms might be the same, the experience and what you have to do is very different, because when you move into that world, then you are dealing with you. You are dealing with me as a consumer. And what I expect from my, as a consumer experience, both online, in a shop, etc., is quite hard. And so you've got to bear that in mind when you are creating a team within a large organization to meet a demand by business to consumer. So it's, you know, you've got to understand, what does that look like? How do you build that capability whilst, you know, retaining the correct parameters and framework that makes the, you know, that meets the company values? And then once you understand that, right, so you would then begin to evolve and look at the type of roles and the type of people that you'll be looking. And then it changes the way, so how do you then attract it? So how do you attract your talent? And then more importantly, and sometimes I think as we evolve in, you know, technology and diversity, how do you retain it and keep it current? Yeah. So, as you know, diversity is more than just a tick box exercise. Getting the right people in for the right job isn't just you get them in and that's the job done. You've got to maintain and understand how you retain them, how do you grow them, and how do you ensure that that talent group is current? Because it's going to evolve as your, you know, as your deliverables evolve, as you're engaging with consumers. One day consumers may be all about buying online, and then the latest trend might completely change that. And so your talent pool today might not meet that change. And so you've always got to think about how to evolve it and refresh it, and also ensure that you retain some of the core.
Yeah. And I can imagine that the amount of time that you've spent thinking about this as well has also changed along with everything else that's changing as well. Obviously, granted, you held various different positions, but you know, the way that you've had to think in about, you know, talent specifically, how much more time has that taken out of your day? You know, maybe at this point in your career, compared to 3-4 years ago?
Huge. I think for me personally, one of the biggest changes was in management or leadership style. When I took on the last role I had, I had a very high performing team who I like to think were extremely diverse in terms of their capabilities, their personalities, mm-hmm. what each of them needed in terms of, you know, ensuring that they were able to perform at the best level that they could perform at. And the hardest part for me was I had to let go of some of the things that I was used to controlling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to change into becoming less of a command and control manager and more of what you commonly hear called like service leadership, which was really focusing on creating the right framework and the right environment and the right support for your subject matter experts, for that diverse talent to flourish. And it's hard. It's not, you don't suddenly wake up and go, oh, I can do it. You know, there's a trust thing. And when you first walk into the role, you don't really know the people, but you know that the work they've done to date has been good. They've met all their targets, they've excelled. And so you immediately hand over the trust and say, okay, I'm going to trust you to do it. You also need a team that have, create an environment with a team that knows that they can come and talk to you. So having too many layers of hierarchy doesn't help in this particular circumstance. Yeah, people need to know that they can just walk up to you and have a conversation, that they can get things addressed, that they know that they have the support, or they understand where things may change. So you also have to make sure that your team are aware of every step change in strategy, in business direction, the minute you're aware of it. And sometimes, even if you can predict where you think there might be a case where something might slightly change, so that everyone can immediately make the step changes they need to make to evolve and not get frustrated that, you know, they've spent X amount of time working on something and then the next day, oh, we're now doing this. So it was a huge, for me, I think it was one of, out of all the learning curves I've probably gone through, I think it was probably one of my steepest learning curves, was understanding the value of a mixed team. Yeah. And ensuring that they had the framework and everything that was suited to enable them to flourish. Does that answer?
Yes, definitely. And I get where that comes from as well. And I think why it's so challenging. We've kind of discussed it pretty much to that point previously. And what I took from it, and I've had a similar experience as well, is the kind of level of fulfillment, and it's pure selfish, but it's like the level of fulfillment that you get from changing up your activities and your structures on a daily basis to get that kind of direct feedback that makes you feel really good about what you've just done. And I think when it comes to like the managing people and spending much more time thinking about kind of others and empowering them, you kind of lose at that point that direct feedback loop that makes you feel good, you know, gets the endorphins firing. You know, for example, if you're, you know, a developer and you wrote, you know, code for 10 years, you know, each day you kind of might fix a bug, or, you know, you'll build out a beautiful piece of code, and that is what makes you feel really, really good. And then all of a sudden you come into a management role, and your role is not to be kind of hands-on and do the job that you know to do. Sometimes I think it's kind of a confusing state of mind for people who kind of get into those positions, because you don't feel as though you're being as productive at times, because you're not actually physically doing what you've always done, but you're then empowering people and it actually scales much better. So, you know, your effectiveness is better, but at the same time, it's a confusing time because you don't feel as though it is. So I think it's that kind of, you know, sense of fulfillment that I think can feel indifferent at times. I think is a part of the reason why it's such a difficult learning curve and challenge for a lot of people when they get into that position.
Yeah, and I think you pinpointed it. It's that value. It's understanding your new value. Yeah, and understanding as a leader how your value changes. And it's not about, you know, if you create the correct leadership environment, it's not about showing how you as an individual did it.
Right.
It's creating an environment and leading a team so that, you know, the vision is met, yeah, and the deliverables are met. And it is hard. And, you know, you would always sit there and go, oh, but I didn't write the business analysis document, or I wasn't the one that built the system, the e-commerce system, or led the detail. But it doesn't make that role any less valuable. And in some respects, I think it can make it slightly more complex, because you're also responsible for getting that balance right, for getting that diversity right, for, you know, employing and recognizing people who are different to you but are essential to get the job done, and understanding how do you bring them in and provide them with an environment for them to excel. So it does change how you see your value. And, you know, like you said, when you've spent 10, 20 years delivering and being hands-on control of everything, you suddenly go, oh, but I'm not actually writing the document anymore. And it is tough. And I think, you know, you've got to always reassess, but what are you bringing to the table and what do you bring in terms of the environment to allow those SMEs to excel?
Yeah, it's true. And I think it's just natural that everyone goes through it when you make that transition, I think. You know, like you say, it just is a different sense of fulfillment when you do that. And I don't think there's any two ways about that. But I think it's nice. And it's interesting, you know, we've had people on the show recently talking a lot about AI and machine learning. You know, there's obviously fear mongering that goes on around, you know, automation in general, about how it's going to kind of eliminate, you know, various jobs, for instance. I think that's a bit of a stretch, but I think, you know, granted to that point, what technology like that is going to allow us to do is to actually be able to think, you know, and think in depth and strategize much more so. And actually, that is really what separates us. That's what our true kind of value is. And it's almost like a parallel comparison to what we've just discussed, because it's like, right, well, we're not doing hands-on this work, but actually what you have now got time to do is to really think things through, strategize and implement things from a higher level. And I think the nice thing about what technology is going to allow us to do, hopefully at least with, you know, autonomous technology, is that, you know, it really frees us up to think, you know, at all levels and to really engage those parts of our brain that a lot of people don't have the privilege to actually pursue on a daily basis. And I think at the moment it's very at the top end, they have that time to actually think and strategize things through, you know, and then it's kind of rolled out to the people who are actually implementing it. And maybe, you know, that's where the real kind of value is in people, is to think things through, strategize, build a plan, you know, and that's really where the value is. So I think if you think about it in those terms, and if that's what, you know, the technology is going to allow more and more people to do, then, yeah, that sense of fulfillment is going to be different for many more people, not just the people at the higher level in an organization.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think some of that technology is already there. And one of the things is, you know, trying to create an environment that allows your current teams to take time to think.
Yeah.
I mean, technology is changing at such a pace that if you spent all your time focusing on how many hours they were doing a particular task or, you know, only on the deliverables, then you're not giving them the opportunity to grow. You're not giving them the room they need to be innovative. And you know, there's so many things we can do now, even before some of the more advanced technology changes that you mentioned come along, to give the team 10 minutes, take 10 minutes, take 2 hours, take a certain point in the day where you just think. And actually, it was something in my previous role, we brought someone in specific to help us, and they came in at a leadership team level to really help us understand, how do we do that? How do you unprogram us to believe that when you're at your desk 9 to 5, you do a task, you do a deliverable, to actually giving people the room to move and to sit where they need to sit, to have thought processes that will lead to those even small little innovation changes that could then give you a much bigger return than just, yes, I've delivered this deliverable this week. So yeah, I think that's one of the exciting things. And again, the technology that's available to employees and the ability to work from home or from a coffee shop or wherever helps support that, taking them away from their 9 to 5 or their day-to-day, you know, very delivery focused environment, and letting them move into an environment that does help them think and broaden their, you know, their potential.
Yeah. Do you think that that is kind of the direction that we're going to go with creating culture and environment in the office place? Is very good, very much going to be that, you know, you give people, you know, the freedom to determine what works for them much more so than having just an organization that kind of commits to a way of doing things?
I think it's got to be a bit of both. I mean, companies, the very value of what a company is and what makes it successful is you know, inherent in that company. And obviously companies need to evolve to ensure that they can attract the right sort of talent. But there is always going to be a place for people who like to come in and sit at their desk 9 to 5. And there are always going to be technologies that require that 24/7 monitoring, supervision. System of records is a good example where, you know, that runs your factory, your finance and everything. So I think it's finding that balance that works. And also, you know, you've got to look at the individuals you're bringing in. So, you know, when you go across what makes up your diverse team, be it, you know, gender, race, neurological, age, etc., I think that's where you start to understand, well, what sort of environment works. And again, a different one size fits all isn't necessarily going to be the right answer. So suddenly making everybody home workers or the ability to work from, I don't know, libraries or coffee shops isn't going to suit the way most people work. I'm a good example. I can work from home occasionally when I have a specific task, mm-hmm. but I'm very much happier and more comfortable in an office environment where I can meet and talk to people, understand where their thoughts are going. And the role I was doing also required that. So if they suddenly said, you're a home worker, that would be a massive shift change for the way that I operate as an individual that I don't think would give me 100% satisfaction. So again, I wouldn't necessarily expect that from my whole team. And equally, there are certain, you know, people who thrive working at home and working at odd hours that, you know, I like to work a particular set of hours that's probably closer to your typical working day. But there are other people who have their best, who are night owls, yeah? They really have their best ideas and their best, you know, achievements in when I'm in bed. And so, you know, how do you allow them to have that flexibility without, you know, then insisting that they are in the office at 9 o'clock and you end up with a burnt out employee? So it really is about getting that balance and understanding the individuals and what works for them rather than having an either or a, you know, just moving completely to the other way.
Yeah, it kind of detracts from the kind of management philosophy, doesn't it, I suppose, that people have. Right, it's, you have to be agile in your approach as a manager, much more so now. You know, yeah. I think that's really important. And again, clarification on what we discussed earlier about how much more time you have to actually spend on this now because the importance of it.
Yes, no, definitely. It's you know, the way that you approach leadership and the way that you is. It's getting more difficult, I think, because you've really got to think outside of your normal way of working. You can't lose sight of the fact that a company is established to achieve a particular vision, task, return on investment. But as a leader, you have to understand, how do you balance that with creating an environment for your team to flourish? And, you know, it means that something you have to take a few risks in a positive way. You have to, you know, try something. If it doesn't work, then try something else. It's not, you don't have to come up with all the answers and stick to it straight off. You have to realize that your team are made up of individuals and how you acquire those individuals will be based on what you need to achieve and also making sure that you have the most diverse team possible. And so if you're going to make all that effort, then don't then set the rules on how they should work. Work with these individuals, understand what works for them, and then see where there's flexibility to provide that environment. Having a successful team becomes as important as, say, delivering a particular task that shows positive return on investment for the company as a whole.
Yeah, it's a great point. I wanted to ask, I know we're kind of getting closer to the 30-minute mark now, so I wanted to ask as well around kind of from your perspective, goal setting. I suppose it kind of alludes well to some of the theme of the conversation and getting that kind of sense of fulfillment now. But I've always found as well, I tend to find it a little bit more difficult. Maybe it's just be me, but when I got a bit more away from the hands-on work to actually start setting myself goals and maybe planning in the future and where I would actually want to be. And I feel a bit more comfortable now, don't get me wrong, but there was certainly that time where I was like, just looked out, you know, I kind of checked all the boxes that I wanted to check by, you know, a certain point, And then I kind of look out into the horizon and I'm a bit unsure and a bit uncertain about like how to set goals and like what I actually want to achieve. So I just wonder whether, you know, you've ever had a similar struggle, and if not, then how have you kind of managed that and set out to achieve, set your own goals for the future?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough question. A lesson I learned from a younger member of a team, and I mean that, you know, so a millennial, I hate to categorise people as millennial, but certainly there's a significant generation gap between myself and this individual, who walked up to me and said, I've just had a, you know, a review, an end of year review and some HR feedback, and they asked me what my 5-year plan is. And I went, oh, because I mean, that's a standard question. What's your 5-year plan? What's your goal? And the individual looked at me and went, what I do with consumers and technology means I don't know where it's going to be in 6 months, let alone 5 years.
Yeah.
I have some values. I have some things that I would like to tick box, achieve, that's wider than just, say, a specific work-related goal. But I couldn't give you a 5-year strategy. And, you know, it kind of made me sit up and go, oh, my goodness, that they are so right. When, particularly when you are in technology, I think unless you, every role, even if you were looking at, I want to be top of the technology ladder in 5 years, that role has changed so much. What is a CIO today could evolve into something very different if digitalization and the technologies that you mentioned earlier all come into play. You know, that role is going to be a lot more different to just keeping the lights on, managing a strategy to meet a business need. It's going to be a lot more focused on, you know, being able to predict the direction that your consumer pool goes on in partnership with your marketing teams. It's going to be ahead of the game when it comes to cybersecurity as you venture into this, you know, more diverse and, you know, online technology. And so I kind of thought, well, you know, it's not a get out clause, right? You know, setting a 5-year goal, but it does change the way you think. So there are certain things that I know fascinate me in terms of, you know, pulling on areas that not necessarily directly related to roles I've done to date. And so goals that I like to set are A, B, and C. A, what would my ideal working environment look like? And that would, you know, and how would I achieve that? Versus goals of, right, I know that I've got some particular financial commitments that I need to hit on a personal level, and how can I achieve that? And so that's the kind of, after having that conversation with that individual, that I started to think of the way I approached my goals and myself that room step change. Yeah. So rather than say, I want to be a CIO in 2 years, yeah, fine, have that. But have that in a concept of, well, is it really about the title CIO, or is it about leading a technology strategy in what environment that really drives you, that makes it worthwhile getting out of bed, spending the hours we spend in the office, that's a significant part of our life, a positive, you know, return on that.
Awesome. Well, I think that was really well put. Certainly had more clarity on that than me, so I appreciate that.
I know, it's the worst question in the world. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
it is tough. And I think actually, you know, just to build on that, it's something that we need to be aware of, particularly if you're going to start talking about diverse teams, is if you continue to ask those sort of questions in a team that is made up of different ages, different genders, different ethnicity, that doesn't hold the same value. Yeah, people might say, I want to be senior in a particular role, but somebody that, say, comes from has all the elements that a good gamer and a good coding gamer has, their idea of leadership is not necessarily going to be the same idea of leadership that someone who wants to run portfolios and direct programs is going to be. And you've got to understand, well, how do you give both sides the right fulfillment and the right, you know, opportunities to fulfill their visualization of leadership? And I think that's where that, you know, that 5-year question needs to be asked in a way, or, you know, what are your goals needs to be asked in a way. And then as a leader, you have to understand the response in the way that that individual sees progression, fulfillment, leadership.
Awesome. Well, Leanne, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. We're at kind of 30-minute mark now, so we'll shut it down.
Okay.
But thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you very much for inviting me to talk.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to the show. I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this episode over on the Venturi's Voice Slack group. See you next time.